And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? Hope you're all having a great evening, great day, great morning. Whenever you're tuning in, whether it's live or on demand, this is RBLR Bucks, and I am Carter Brantley, one of your three co-hosts. We got a full talking head portion tonight. I don't know what to call us, a full crew. We were just making fun of the Bucks for their weird, ridiculous slogan, "We are the crew," and yet here I am using that phrase. But regardless, welcome to the show. We're finally getting closer and closer. This weekend, they got preseason. This is, you know, some actual football is going on. Well, actual, you know, you can put quotes.
Almost football.
Yes, some semblance of football. Jalen Daniels will be playing this weekend. We will get to that, and I'm very excited for it. But, yeah, we're going to be talking about the training camp stuff because that's been going on. Some position battles as well because not all the starting roles are necessarily set in stone. There are a few sort of awkward injuries as well that we can talk about. But regardless, before we get to all that, I need to introduce the people that are actually going to be talking about it, other than just me, because no one wants to hear me yam around for an hour. It's Mr. Zach Blaine and Mr. Tyler Basalo. Mr. Tyler, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I am hanging in there, getting ready for the semester to start.
You're at USF, right? Go Bulls.
I am driving to Tampa every day. So heck excited for that hour.
Yeah, you and me both, man. I'm going to be on campus too every day. That's my place of employment.
Not necessarily excited, but you know, it's got to happen. So here we are.
Yeah, you're majoring in music, right? You're a
music education. Yeah.
So. Oh, okay. Have you met? You'll meet all sorts of fascinating. We can talk off camera about it, but you'll meet a whole bunch of interesting folks. And that's
There are some characters I've heard.
Yes, very much so. And Mr. Zach Blaine joining us as well, not to be outdone. Last but not least, how are you two? How are you doing tonight, my friend?
You know, we're here.
We're here.
This week's been a rough week for the Blaine household, but we're here, excited to talk some football and get some positive going.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a nice little distraction, nice way to relax, and we'll try not to stress you out too much by talking up Ted Hurst or anything. We'll only briefly talk about.
Bro, this is gonna be a Ted Hurst and David Walker episode. My week is gonna get so much better right now.
Well, the good news is they are actually playing pretty well, and that's actually a great segue. Thank you, Mr. Blaine. The good news is Ted Hurst and Baker seem to have a really good connection. Ted Hurst had some really good highlights, some really good tape, really good play against the Jets. That's a very important, important context. You know, they're playing in training camp and it's against the Jets. Everyone looks good in training camp and a lot of people look good against the Jets, but it's still fun. Tyler, I'll start with you because you and I both might be a little bit more up on Ted Hurst, but at the same time, it's also training camp against the Jets. So like, I'm trying to put, you know, a little bit of a positive spin on it, but it's still fun. It's still better than him going out and having a clanker, you know, cause he could also go out and look like crap, which would be depressing. So how much stock are you putting into this? And have you been excited to see Ted Hurst go to work?
Whether it's training camp or not, he is still going up against people who are employed by an NFL team.
Yes. That's a great
something
point.
We had not seen before.
For sure.
And you know, there were questions about him being able to compete coming into the NFL, coming from school like Georgia State.
Right.
As far as we can tell now, it looks like he's a dog. But, you know, everybody looks good in their first training camp. So,
of course. Yeah. And it is a lot of context and a lot of, you know, kind of conditions that you have to put on it. But like you said, the big question with him, the physicality or the physical tools were there and the production was there, but it was production in the Sun Belt Conference, which, you know, Southern Miss to the top and all that stuff, but it's
playing against the University of Louisiana Monroe every week.
Hey, now my cousin went to UL Monroe. No, I'm just kidding. He did, but you know, yes, absolutely. It is UL Monroe and it is Georgia State. So yeah, there's a lot of concern about his level of competition. And you've seen it even from American Conference players. Like they drafted Jalen Darden a few years ago, and Jalen Darden was coming out of college having this super elite season where he was fantastic.
He looked like he was going to be good.
Yeah, I was super excited about him. And then, he was not good. You know,
yeah.
That's how it is. So There's definitely that level of concern. And of course, there's a Hazel alert. I would love to hear Hazel's thoughts on Ted Hurst, because I'm sure she, like her father, has nothing but positive things to say about him. But Mr. Blaine, what are your thoughts on Hurst's
performance? What do you think about Ted Hurst?
No.
No, that's right. No, I'm okay, quiet down a little bit. I don't dislike Ted Hurst. And I feel like that's gotta be said. I enjoy Ted Hurst. I don't like where we took him.
Sure.
All right, we get quiet down. Okay, maybe I'm gonna put it down. I don't dislike Ted Hurst. I just dislike where we took him. I thought we had more dire needs at the time. But now with J-Mac getting hurt, per usual, someone getting hurt, like it makes more sense now. Like looking at it today, I'm like, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
But at the time, I thought we had more pressing needs, and I still think we do because corner's looking rough too. But
yeah,
you know, here we are. I'm excited for him. I'm not. My hopes are not going to be too high.
Yeah.
Because every time they're high, I get shot down.
Dang, that's a. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I definitely feel you. I keep my standards low when it comes to my favorite sports teams as well, and because then you can't get disappointed. I feel you. But I'm trying to be hopeful because Ted Hurst seems like a nice guy, and he's fun to watch. And if he can have a really good season as a rookie coming out of Georgia State, Georgia State, that would be a really cool story. Like, it would be a really fun, like, hey, this is a kid in the NIL era where everyone's just jumping ship, everyone's trying to go get paid, which, again, rightfully so, not dissing it, but a guy who stuck it out as a small school goes on to have a successful NFL career. That's a pretty cool story, you know, if he's able to do some really nice things. But I definitely get the trepidation. I definitely understand that, like, yeah, the cornerbacks look rough. Benjamin Morrison, what are we, you know, what are we doing? And we'll get to that, trust me. But before we get into the negative, I still wanted to focus on the positive because Reuben Bain, whoo, man. I mean, it's Reuben Bain. Like, he was the first round pick. Like, no surprise. Like, oh, he looks really good. Like, oh, wow, that's right. But it's still good. Like, because there are first round picks that, you know, aren't necessarily making these eye popping or high, like, real type of plays. And right. JTS. Yeah. And Reuben Bain is. And David Walker looks pretty fun. So does the pass rush group, maybe because Zach, we talked about their fantasy value because they're playing against other NFC South teams and the defense is going to be playing rough competition. But even just as a defense in general, does the pass rush group inspire a little bit more hope that maybe they could have a better year than last year?
I mean, it'd be hard to have a worse year than last year.
They'd surprise you. They could surprise you. Let's not.
my hopes are higher than they were last year. I'm still not high on David Walker. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't when we took him. I'm still not. I love that he's making noise in camp, but a lot of people make noise in camp. So Rossier Dennis looked great in camp his rookie year.
Sure.
So it's like I stress again. This is more of a negative Zach coming out. Another small school guy. And I'm not. Where did he go? Central Arkansas or some?
Yeah, a D2 school.
You're going to have to prove it to me before I have to. If he comes out and puts up 10 sacks next year, I will eat my words. I think we have a little bet we're supposed to be making.
Yeah.
Bet responsibly, kids.
We're betting charity, though. We're betting.
Yeah. I was going to say, if David Walker has 10 or more sacks in the regular season, I will donate $100 to any charity of Carter's choosing.
Which, hey, I work for a nonprofit now, so.
Hey, listen.
That's got to be some kind of.
If you want to take it to yourself, I will donate the $100 to the charity of Carter Brantley. So.
and I will do the same if he does not. So that's the deal.
So either way, charity's getting money because of David Walker this year.
Yeah, for better or for worse.
In time, exactly.
That's right. It's
1-800 gambler.
That's right. Yeah. Wholesome gambling. Yes, absolutely. The good news, though, with David Walker is that even if there's a lot less pressure on him necessarily than, like, say, Reuben Bain or even, frankly, Trotter, the linebacker they took in the second round, because the, you know, Yaya Diaby and Reuben Bain are, like, the starting edge rushers, they're going to be really hard to move off of those positions. David Walker is their third guy, more of a, you know, rotate him in and out kind of fella. So there's a lot less pressure, but that could be a good thing. You know, maybe he's able to flourish in that role, and maybe he's able to do a lot more good things. So, yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun either way, because I just don't think there's this need for him right now because of Bane and Diaby kind of being the pillars right now on the edge. So
and those are both guys that can play three downs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
So that's the other downside, and that's not a dig at David Walker at all.
No, but it's you're not taking those guys off the field. No.
Exactly. So yeah. Like he'll get special teams and he'll get plays here and there, but he's not going to have the opportunities that Bane and Diaby, and if we're putting him at outside linebacker three, then, you know, he'll be the first one off the bench. But how often are those guys going to come off? Because I think that they're both very capable of playing three downs at a time.
Yes. Well, and I think the other piece of this puzzle is that they've also added, like, Al-Quadin Muhammad from the Detroit Lions.
Maybe
I
he's really
– will actually probably project as the third edge rusher.
Yeah.
At least to start the season. So, you know, they have some names at least.
Because didn't he have, like, 12 sacks last year?
What was that?
Muhammad, didn't he have, like, 12 sacks last year?
Yeah, it was something crazy like that. He was cleaning up after Hutchinson.
Right, yeah. Unfortunately, the Bucs do not have Aiden Hutchinson, but they do have Ruben Bain and Yaya Diaby, who are not Aiden Hutchinson. So I'm going to
say, I'll go out on a limb here and say I think Ruben Bain might be as good as Aiden Hutchinson when it comes down.
Really? Wow. That would be awesome.
I think that he is the steal of the draft, and I am so negative on Tampa taking edge rushers.
I was going to say,
Ruben Bain, I think, has a legitimate shot at defensive rookie of the year this year.
Yeah.
Well, I love it. I agree. I think of all the – like, there might be a guy – like, David Bailey, I'm sure, will have pretty high odds, too, as well as is David Bailey the one out of Texas Tech? I don't remember.
Yes.
But
Bailey is one at Texas Tech. And then there was – I think it's going to be between David Bailey, Ruben Bain, and the linebacker out of Ohio State.
Oh, yes.
Sonny Styles.
Or maybe Caleb Downs. He could have a fun season, too.
Dude, he's looked really good in camp. So
he has looked really, yeah, he has looked excellent. It's funny what taking the best safety in the draft can do sometimes. Right? Yeah, there's a lot of really good defensive players out of this draft, like a lot of really solid ones. But, Zach, I'm going to agree. It's like Ruben Bain is going to be a good one to watch. So, I'm pretty excited. But, yeah, Muhammad is kind of theoretically maybe even ahead of David Walker on the depth chart. So they really have kind of two sets of potential starting edge rushers, or at least guys who wouldn't like the Muhammad and Walker. You're not like it's not necessarily like the cornerback room where, like, you know, if Zion McCollum, who's already kind of a problem to begin with, gets hurt, then it's like, oh gosh, what are we doing here? I definitely agree. But that was a great segue, by the way. Thank you, Tyler. That's an excellent segue to our next topic of conversation, which is the silliness of the unofficial depth chart that has been released. I don't put too much stock into this, but it's still a segment. It's a bit, it's something for us to talk about. It's just something to read and look at and get angry over. But were there any surprises, anyone that you were like, wow, I'm kind of surprised that he's still there? I know Zach's going to get on the Servassier Dennis train, so we'll save that for him. But Tyler, was there anyone else maybe that you thought of that was like, dang, like, I'm kind of surprised he's still starting?
I mean, you know, The Servassier Dennis thing is a little bit funny.
Yeah, it feels more like a courtesy thing.
Like, you've been here before.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that stays.
But you've been here.
Right. Not because he's good, but just because he was a warm body. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's true. To me, it was interesting to see Jacob Parrish get the other starting corner spot over Ben Morrison, just because Parrish is mainly a nickel. So is Keontae Scott, who's the fourth corner listed there.
Yes.
So that is going to be something to watch, obviously, all year, is the cornerback room, because first of all, it's not very deep. And second of all, like, just a lot of question marks out of those four, and frankly, five guys, if you include, Tyke Smith in there as well, who was, you know, a nickel 2 years ago and made a shaky transition to safety last year. So, I think the defensive backfield is going to be a major question mark. But yeah, you know, these depth charts are always hilarious. I do think it's funny that Ruben Bain got a nod as a starter, even though there are no other rookies within that range.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I think if you're a first round pick, especially one as highly touted as Ruben Bain, like I know he fell to 15, but like he was a guy that was being talked about as a top five pick at some point.
Yeah.
So like, I do think that maybe that's like a special circumstance type of thing, but it does seem to be a tendency for the Bucks to never give the rookies the starting spot, even if theoretically they are the best guy there. Yeah. I do think that seems to be their kind of standard operation type of thing, but yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how that develops for sure. But Zach, you have at it. Servassier Dennis is starting, and tell us why he's the biggest bum in the NFL.
Oh, I didn't say the biggest bum in the NFL.
I know. I'm just messing.
He does suck, though.
Yes, he is
bad. KJ Britt still in the league?
I would almost put him as starter over him.
I think KJ Britt played summer football this year. I want to say he was in the UFL, but I could be wrong.
Servassier was the biggest surprise for me being a starter on there. I don't care if you put any other – because you had mentioned, like, oh, he's a rookie. Like, maybe they don't put them as starters. Bane excluded because first-round pick, like, I agree with you 100%. There were three other guys on that list that weren't rookies that I would have put above Servassier Dennis. I'm not even exaggerating. Rosenboom. Who's the other? We got another inside linebacker.
John Bullock, Jackson. Nick Jackson.
Well, there was another. There's another one, isn't there? Or is John Rosenboom? Bullock. Anzalone's already a starter. I'm about to look at it real quick because now I'm blanking.
I think it's John Bullock.
Well, yeah, no, John Bullock for sure, but there was – I thought we signed two free agents. Oh, Rosenboom. I already said it. Jesus, yeah. I told you. It's been a long week, boys. there was so many more that I would put above him, even if we take the rookies out. So I struggle to see him up there, and knowing Todd Bowles, I would not be the least bit surprised if Servassier Dennis is still our starting inside linebacker come regular season because he's so damn hard-headed.
Yeah, there's the whole, like, he knows the defense thing that drives me crazy. Because what the heck is training camp for? What the heck is preseason for? If not for rookies to get to know the defense. I'm in agreement. It's frustrating. It's annoying. And I was, like, I know we kind of – took a dump on the Trotter pick for a lot of the offseason, but I kind of want to see what he's got, you know, like the whole Rick and Morty, like, show us what you got type of thing.
Show
like,
I'm us trying to what see you've it, got. You know,
like, yeah, exactly. Like,
I've never seen Rick and Morty, but I believe you.
Oh, wow. You haven't seen Rick and Morty. That seems like your type of show, man. It seems like.
I don't watch any animated cartoons.
Fair enough.
Man, that's a.
Even as a kid, I didn't, dude. I watched like comedy movies.
No SpongeBob or nothing?
Nope.
Not that's a tough SpongeBob. Way to live, man.
No, I could never get into it, man. It was weird. I don't like all the live act. Like I had to watch live action everything, bro.
Huh. Fair enough.
I mean, guess. Like I've seen them. Don't get me wrong. I've got kids, so like I've seen
for sure
TV shows and movies, but
yeah, I will say
I myself.
You've expressed that you're a Community fan, and this is getting really off topic here. I apologize, but
oh, I love it.
It's made awesome. By the same guy. It's made by the same guy that made Community, yeah. Dan Harmon.
See, so I did know that, and if there were a kid – or not a kid show, let me rephrase that. If there were a cartoon that I would watch, it would probably be that.
Yeah. It's pretty funny in the first few seasons. It drops off pretty hard and pretty quick, but
– Yeah.
Anyway, like any other show. But anyways, so a little Rick and Morty side quest there. So any other surprises on the Bucks' first unofficial depth chart other than maybe Rick Sanchez not being on there?
I was impressed by the amount of tight ends that are on the roster because there are
the tight end creep in the NFL.
Two rookies.
Yes, the tight end creep in the NFL in general is bonkers. Like there's every team has like eight tight ends. They treat tight ends like it's the wide receiver room.
We've got six tight ends and five running backs. I don't know how that's going to work out.
Yeah, we'll see. Like there, yeah. The good news is I think Devin Culp's going to be fun. Like the new trend of, you know, having every look be a three tight end look, you know, having 13 personnel on the field all the time. That means Devin Colt might get some more action. You know, that's kind of fun.
Be nice.
But I hope so.
Because I really want to see him. I hate that he's so far down the depth chart.
Keith is like a tight end in name only. So
right. He's more of the fullback.
Exactly. So why not move him to tight end four? Like in my head, and I know that we run – two tight end sets. We're going to run two tight end sets, three tight end sets. Like I try to understand that, but then also like, Hazel, turn the light on. I try to like differentiate Colt from Payne Durham. And I don't think that there's a difference, and we've seen Payne Durham. Why not give Devin Colt a chance?
Yeah. I will say, I do think Devin Colt and Payne Durham's a bit better of a blocker. Like he's more physical.
That's fair.
Yeah, he's bigger. So, you know, when you're running those two or three tight end sets, you want to have guys that can be a little bit more versatile, because then you don't want teams to just be like, oh, well, it's a three tight end set, but they're going to pass the ball because they've got Devin Culp out there, you know. But at the same time, I love Devin Culp, so I would love for him to get more playing time, more targets, more.
Have you ever used Devin Culp in Madden?
Yeah, Devin Culp in Madden is insane.
Brother, that speed in Madden at tight end is disgusting.
Yeah, he's gross. He's like –
seven overall, but
no, he plays up. There was a tight end a long time, like a few years ago, that was just like ridiculously. It was always the receivers that would convert to tight end in Madden that would be really OP.
There was that one Jermaine, that really tall wide receiver on the Jets.
I can picture him.
It starts with a J. I don't remember his name, but I know it starts with a J.
That's okay.
He was like 6'7" or something, and I remember that one of the games had him as a tight end. Oh my god!
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so Devin Culp is very fun to use in Madden. Hopefully, he can be used a little bit more in the NFL. And that's kind of all we got for the depth chart. But if you're looking at your wardrobe and thinking, man, I could use some more Devin Culp type of outfits, head to shop.rblrsports.com, if I can spell it and say it correctly. We'll give you a promo code. That's Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type it in for 10% off your entire order. We got everything. We don't just have Buck stuff. We got Rowdies, Rays, Lightning, some Sun stuff too, for some other soccer types of fans as well. So definitely head to the store. Check it out. We'd really appreciate it. All right. Now we are going to be talking about position battles. We kind of alluded to some of them earlier, but I wanted to break it down in a more specific way and talk about maybe some guys on the fringes as well, because it's not just about who's starting. It's also about who's backing them up too. But Tyler, I'll start with you, man. Were there any position battles that you were looking at, whether it was for the starting role or for a backup role, like at the bottom of the roster, were there any position battles that you were looking at specifically for this Bucs team?
Yeah, I'm getting real concerned about that defensive back room specifically, honestly on the whole. Zach McCollum didn't live up to the extension that he got last year, not even a little bit. It didn't pay him a ton of money, but he's certainly not been good for them since he signed the extension. And then Benjamin Morrison has, I think today was his first day of practice all summer.
Yeah. Yeah. He's had
he had like a hamstring injury in like May or something like that.
Yeah. It's been very, yeah.
It's very concerning for a guy who missed training camp last year and didn't play until like week five and then got hurt again in the middle of the year. So that all is very concerning as well.
He's been hurt since like his junior year of college.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he missed his entire senior year of college.
Yeah.
Pretty much insane. And then, you know, I'm also interested in how they work out the nickel situation with Keontae Scott and Jacob Parrish and Tyke Smith all on the team. And I'm curious to see what the safeties position looks like too, because I've seen some rumbling that they want to work out Keontae Scott up there too. It's kind of a mess, to me. I'm also very curious to see what the linebacking situation ends up looking like. I'm assuming Anzalone and Josiah Trotter are the two every down guys, but if one of them goes down, it gets scary really quick, because you're looking at Servacia Dennis. And then you're looking at Christian Roseboom, who is a special teamer.
Yeah.
Other than that, like the offense, I'm mildly concerned about the wide receivers. Tez Johnson hasn't really practiced very much this summer either. But, you know, Jalen McMillan's probably going to miss a lot of games again this year.
Yeah, and so is Chris Godwin.
Like, yeah, and so it
– it kind of sucks.
You know, it's hard to – it's hard to forecast a lot of this stuff just because they're all so injury prone. But a lot of the underlined rookies on this list, I've heard some really good things about. Bauer Sharp has made some noise. The tight end that they traded up to get in the sixth round, Jalen Daniels, I'm very excited to see. I think that he is, you know, a lot of people were saying that he has the best arm in the draft in terms of, like, you know, strength. And that he just kind of needed to learn how to play quarterback from a mental perspective.
And the coaches have been raving about that aspect.
Yeah.
Like, they have been super excited.
Very excited to see that. Yeah, I've also heard good stuff about Yasir Holmes, who's all the way down on the edge rushers depth chart. I've heard really good things about him. And I've also heard really good things about Pepe Williams, who's not even listed on the depth chart.
Yeah.
Might be the first NFL player ever named Pepe. And he is.
So technically, he's listed as Demarion Williams. Like,
is he really? Okay.
Pepe's a nickname, unfortunately, as much as.
That's what I call my grandpa.
Oh.
Same.
There you go. Yeah. Hey.
That's what I call my grandpa.
Yeah. Hey.
Well, my grandpa's from Cuba, so it's actually kind of just his name. But.
It's just French for grandpa, I guess, is what I was told.
Fair enough. Oh, we'll take that.
It's like P-E-P-I-E-R or something. It's weird.
There you go. Hey, that's cool. Hell yeah.
I'm also curious to see how the punt returning and kick returning turns out. Cam Johnson was really good back there last year. He had some pretty electric returns. But I'm curious to see if they give Tez Johnson a shot.
Yeah, because Tez could use it. Like, he's fun. He's shifty. Yeah, he's kind of the prototypical guy you think of as a kickoff or as a return specialist in general. I'm really excited about Pepe Williams. I think, like, he's probably going to be, like, the biggest surprise to make it on the roster potentially, because I don't think any of us had ever heard of Pepe Williams. No offense to him, but he's kind of coming out of nowhere and he's impressing a whole lot of people. So he's definitely a name to watch for me. And I keep harping on him, but Damonte Capehart, man. He's still got a special place in my heart.
I like that. Robinson, that was a good one.
Spot. Elijah Roberts is backing up Kalijah Kancey. But, man, if Damonte Capehart can get some playing time, that would be really fun. I'm open.
If they can manage to retain Vea and keep everybody healthy, like if we get a full season of Kalijah Kancey, I think that defensive line is maybe the best unit on the team besides the offensive line.
Yeah, that front four, if you just have, like, the – defensive linemen and the outside linebackers or the front, whatever you want to call them, excluding the interior linebackers, obviously, like the off-ball guys. That's disgusting. It's gross. It could get real nasty up there. And they've got some dogs. Like, Robinson and Muhammad are both very physically imposing. They have been talking a lot of smack, which is something that I have not heard about.
So much fun, dude.
Yes. I have not heard that about a Bucs defense in so long. Like, it feels like they've just been kind of ho-hum and just kind of like
– since JP left.
Yeah, no joke. No joke at all. Like, they have been very vanilla for a very long time. So I know that, you know, Muhammad and Robinson weren't necessarily splashy signings or, like, guys that are going to be super productive potentially. But I do think they bring an edge to the defense that, like, felt like Ndamukong Suh kind of brought that back when they first signed him. And, like, he kind of imposed that for a little bit, and JPP and all those guys. And then once those guys left, that attitude kind of left with him. And it's been really fun. So hopefully that can continue. But Mr. Blaine, any other positions that we haven't mentioned or any other points that you wanted to make about any position battles?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys kind of hit on them all. I'm excited to watch Jalen Daniels because Jake Browning got hurt. I don't know if we've heard anything on what it was yet.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, so I know Jake Browning got hurt, and then we're looking at what Connor Bazelak and Jalen Daniels now. They're talking. I saw some stuff on Twitter about calling John Wolford to see him. Like, what's the point? Like, why?
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't get to the backup, but if we get to the backup, we're screwed anyway. Let's not pay somebody else to just screw us.
Right, yeah.
So I'm excited to see where that goes, if Jake Browning is out long-term or if it's a minor injury, he'll be back. But I do think that that would be an interesting battle for QB2 at that point, because Bazelak has the experience with the team, but I do think Jalen Daniels is a better quarterback. So interesting to see how that would play out. And then, yeah, I mean, corner. I always talk about the corners, but Benjamin Morrison is just so disappointing right now. My hopes were so high when we drafted him. There was a few other corners I wanted, but getting him in the second round, I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, this is exactly what we needed. He was talked about as being the number one corner in the draft if he wasn't hurt. But now you see why he fell. Like, yeah. it's kind of upsetting to see, but I think the fear that made him fall is coming to life now, and we're sowing it, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know what to make of it, because it's hard to like say that, oh, a guy's not playing through injury, like he's not tough, like, you know, injuries happen and then they can affect everyone very differently. But yeah, it's been very disappointing. That's a good way of putting it. It's been a bummer because, excuse me, like you said, he's a very talented corner. Like, coming out of college, like you said, he was one of the best corners out of college. The reason that he dropped was because of the injuries, and unfortunately there might have been a reason that those injuries caused him to drop, and we're kind of seeing it come to fruition. But yeah, we'll see, man, because I think Parrish lining up on the outside, I think that could actually be pretty fun. I'm not as worried about Parrish as much as I am about McCollum, you know, because McCollum, yikes. And I think Scott slots in very nicely at the nickel spot, like him and Reuben Bain. I think
Scott at the nickel spot is where I want him. Like, that's perfect. I fear, and I know we've heard that he's doing really good at the outside spot, but I really fear Jacob Parrish's size on the outside.
Yeah, and it's not an. It's certainly not, especially in a division with Tet McMillan, as well as, you know, Chris Olave and
Drake London,
and gosh, the guy that Saints drafted, Tyson, right?
Jordan Tyson, yeah.
Jordan Tyson, thank you. Those not are all guys.
Brazil out of Tennessee, whenever he gets back healthy.
Like, yeah, I mean, these are all guys that are physically imposing, very big wide receivers. And those are guys that the Bucs have to play six times a year.
Exactly.
So no doubt that's something to think about, you know, like, yeah, that's something to consider.
It's worth noting he did play outside a couple times last year when they need him to. Right. And then they would just kick him inside and bring in, like, Vildor for their nickel packages, and Vildor would play outside. So
I wonder if maybe that's what they end up doing, you know.
And have Morrison, like, come in and sub on the outside. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. It's tough, man. I'm definitely, you know, not super bullish. But the hope is I think the ideal scenario, and maybe what I was trying to lead the show with and what I was trying to get to with the pass rush, is that maybe the pass rush will be so good that the cornerbacks won't matter as much. You know, maybe,
man, wouldn't that be nice?
That would be beautiful, because that hasn't been the case for the Bucs for years. Like, since,
I honestly forget what that feels like.
I know, because then if the pass rush is good, then Zion McCollum, like, you know, maybe he's a good corner.
Dude, we had a good pass rush. Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting got paid.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
they were borderline Pro Bowlers, man.
Let's think that through real quick.
Yeah.
Those two got Pro Bowl level contracts almost off of a good pass rush.
Yes. So it would be a really cool thing if we were sitting here at the end of the season talking about, hey, man, Zion McCollum wasn't that bad this year, you know, when in reality it didn't really matter, just because Reuben Bain and Yaya Diaby and Muhammad and David Walker were all just wreaking havoc. And that was really what happened. But regardless, it, the outcome would be good. So, you know, that's okay. But I don't know, man. We'll definitely see. There's some fun. I know it's not as sexy to talk about, but the offensive line is kind of interesting. Like, Elijah Klein and the tackle that they got, Ben Chukwuma, is really fun. I mean, there's some fun little battles there for the backup spots. I know that's kind of super silly and not really worth talking about, but hey, you never know. I mean, last year with Cody Mount going down so early, like it kind of was like, oh crap, this is actually kind of important.
Yeah.
And boy, it kind of cost him some.
That's where my head's at with it now. Is it's like we've got, I mean, if you really think about it, we've got two spots that aren't spoken for on the as starters on this team, which is outside corner and inside linebacker too. Like everything else, as dumb as it sounds, is kind of solidified, and we haven't even had a preseason game. So barring any injuries, unfortunately, this team is going to be boring to watch position battles-wise because we got a corner and a backup – not a backup, but an inside linebacker too. Like that's really all the positions that are open.
Yeah.
Generally, well, you know, that's a good problem to have.
It is.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And I will say, like, I do genuinely think with how much they've been talking up Jalen Daniels, I'm curious, man. I'm really interested to see. And the quarterback, the backup quarterback spot is by far the most fun position to be up for grabs, because then it's like, oh, well, there's something to watch on offense, you know, because offense can be a bit monotonous in the preseason. It's like, well, they're not playing all they're not showing their playbook. They're just running kind of ho-hum stuff. And like you're watching guys fight for the fifth or sixth wide receiver spot, and the, you know, the running back room is actually pretty set in stone with Tucker and you know, Gainwell and obviously Bucky. So like, you know, even that is kind of dull, and the tight end room is kind of crowded, but like, yeah, I don't know. So I'm excited to watch Jalen Daniels. That is genuinely a storyline that I think
that'd be something to watch for real.
Yeah. Cause he's athletic too. Like he can move a little bit. Like he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not, you know, he's not any of the uber mobile quarterbacks, but he's definitely shifty in the pocket. He can do a little bit with his legs as well as having that tremendous arm, like y'all were talking about. So there's a lot to watch this preseason. I'm going to be tuning in because it's going to be fun. And yeah, we'll see. But any other closing points that y'all wanted to bring up before we close out the show here? Or we kind of touched on everything, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I think I'm good as well. Well, appreciate y'all for tuning in. Hit that like and subscribe button on your way out if you liked what you heard. Give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports as well. We're on almost all the socials, you know, anywhere you can look, and then you can find us probably. But hit us with those comments as well, especially as the preseason goes on. There's going to be guys that pop. Maybe there's a guy that you think, oh, man, he looked really impressive in this play, or he had a really good game. So we'll be talking about it as well. We'll be back next week. Talking about their first preseason game against the Jets up there in New Jersey, not New York. That's where, you know, that's it's, you know, technicalities and whatnot.
You're right, pal.
That's right. Well, regardless, really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Thank you to my wonderful co-host for making my job incredibly easy. We'll see y'all next week. But until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.